You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
Elliot here from Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, and I am joined by Nathan, senior producer on Minecraft Dungeons. Nathan, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for taking time.
Not a problem. And now, I guess we got to start with a very obvious question. For those unaware, what is Minecraft Dungeons?
Oh, Minecraft Dungeons is a four-player cooperative dungeon crawler that brings players into the world of Minecraft, but then adds a little bit of kind of different element of the combat, which is what we're heavily focused on.
Right. Is it fair to compare this to stuff like Diablo? Is that the kind of like comparison you hear a lot?
Well, we have heard that. We do use that comparison, but we'd like to reference classic dungeon crawlers like Gauntlet.
Oh.
Well. So the original Gauntlet.
Going old school.
Yes. Yeah. And the reason we do that is because Diablo, because of its content, is not really accessible to, say, a younger audience.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, me, as a huge Diablo fan, I may not want to play it with my daughter.
Yeah.
But this game is, the content and the game itself is really accessible. We don't have deep skill trees like, say, some of the other dungeon crawlers do. It is very easy to pick up and play.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you can't shy away from the fact that Minecraft is one of the biggest games in the world, maybe even the biggest game in the world, and obviously, there is a huge youth kind of base to that game as well. Is that a big thing coming into Minecraft Dungeons? It's like, well, we need to cater to this audience and make sure it's accessible for people who are, what, like 4, 5,
oh,
3?
Yeah. I mean, with something like Minecraft, you need to cater from 4 to 84.
Yeah.
You need to hit that spectrum of players, and that's what we want to do, and that's our goal for Dungeons as well.
And in what kind of ways do you reckon you've managed to achieve that with Minecraft Dungeons? Like, what were the kind of angles you tackled to make sure that that catering happened?
Well, I think, again, because we don't have, well, I would say we don't have deep skill trees, but we don't have skill trees at all, and we also don't have classes. And so you don't have to hop in and choose, okay, am I going to play a barbarian who would be the tank or a crusader or something like that? Or do I want to play, a magic user or a healer? You are what you wear in Minecraft Dungeons. And so if you pick up what are you would think are magician robes or healer outfit or something like that, it's just that way visually.
Yeah.
But it depends on the enchantments that come with the gear. So every piece of loot you pick up, that is one of your main slots. So it'll be your melee, your ranged, or your armor slot. They all come with certain enchantments that you can choose to put your points into when you level up. And that will kind of sway that piece of gear one direction or the other towards, say, your tank or your healer.
Right.
But then all you need to do is switch that out, and now you have your champion's armor on, and you're the quote-unquote traditional tank. You have more health, you do more damage, maybe you have splash damage, or you have kind of an aura effect that does damage to other characters. And so you can suck everybody into you, all the mobs, as long as there's somebody back there that is giving you maybe a little bit of help and protection.
Sure, and I guess in that sense, it is a little bit like the original Minecraft in that, you know, you wield a sword, you're the melee guy, you wield a pickaxe, all of a sudden you're mining and digging, and there really is no restrictions to what you're able to do. It's just the tools that you have in front of you.
Right.
And I guess, how much did you, on the team or the team of Minecraft Dungeons, how much was there referencing the original Minecraft?
Well, obviously. I mean, that's the inspiration. Our creative director or our game director, Mons Olsen, he has been with Mojang for quite some time. And, you know, this is his kind of baby and brainchild, and it came out of a small just hackathon or a small project and really blossomed into what it is today. And so every level or biome in the game you will recognize if you're a Minecraft fan. So we have creeper woods, we have creepers, we have the characters that live in these environments. But then there's also new stuff too, but not to the point that it's unrecognizable from Minecraft, but to the point that it brings in new players and it brings them something that, gives them a little bit of a tie to the original game.
Absolutely. Is there any crafting involved whatsoever, or is that one of the ways you're moving away from Minecraft?
Well, not moving away necessarily, but what we wanted to do was make sure we get this new mechanic down, which is our combat and co-playing with other players. But a natural progression path in any game like this that is tied to a franchise that is based on something as strong as mining and crafting, that's got to come into play at some point, but right now it's not. It's not on our roadmap.
Nice. It's always good to, I guess, you can't stick too true to the original, right? Yeah. Because things need to be able to form their own identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we go back to the topic of accessibility, obviously you've got the side, the younger audience, making sure that they're catered to. But what about the other spectrum of people? A hardcore RPG, like action RPG players, are they going to find something really gritty and fun here?
Oh, absolutely. And I go back to kind of our loot table and just the way we have enchantment set up. And just how you can create these kind of builds of weapons and armor that then gives you that in-game feel that you would get in a game similar to this. But then also how it scaled, how the difficulty of the mobs and just your experience scales up depending on the number of players in the game. One other thing too to bring into accountability with just, or bring into kind of the conversation around accessibility, but then also the other spectrum of the kind of core player, is that if you're level 20 and I'm level 2, we can play together and the game scales based on kind of whoever set up the server.
Right.
But the loot is individual, and so you'll have your loot, I'll have mine.
So we're not competing over the same drops.
We're not competing for loot at all. But then there's also not going to be a piece of gear that drops that say you can't use for 2 levels and you're holding it in your bag, can't wait till that time, which is fun in those situations, but in this we wanted to make it accessible to everybody, and being as the game is based around you are what you wear, we want everything that's dropped that you can wear, you can use right away.
Absolutely. So what are we expecting from Minecraft Dungeons? Obviously we've talked about this, some of the action gameplay that will be there, the cooperative elements, up to 4 players.
Yes.
What about the rest of it? Are we seeing boss battles? Are we seeing like much dungeon crawling and advancing deeper and deeper into certain areas?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we do have boss battles. We have the Redstone Monstrosity, which is kind of one of our big key characters. We also have the Evil Archilliger, who is he's the main kind of baddie in the whole game that you run into throughout different areas. And he'll pop in, he'll drop in a bunch of mobs, he'll lock a door. And you have to beat through these hordes to get the key that then unlocks the door.
Is there a bit of a narrative focused around this as well?
It's light, but motivation. You need that motivation to go through. And so there's a story. So we do have a setup to the entire game. And then as you go into different biomes, there is a narrative setup that takes you in. And it is all linearly kind of tied together. But then there are some moments when you get through, I believe when you get through the second biome, as you proceed through that, you unlock 3. That then you can kind of choose your path to go. And so it does have a branching element to it, but there is a cohesive narrative that brings it all together.
Sure, so it's not like an open world experience, but you get to choose the linear path you're moving along.
Yeah.
Right, that's a nice way to handle it. So the Archilliger, is that what we called it?
Yes.
Archilliger. This is the main bad guy, the main antagonist.
Yep.
Are they going to recur throughout the game?
Oh, he shows up all the time.
Okay.
And he'll literally, you're going through a dungeon and he just pops in. And it's part of their story element, so it's not necessarily a random event. So it is key situations throughout the levels. He'll pop in and kind of throw something in your path. And you'll have to either figure out the puzzle or fight the character to get through.
Sure. How much puzzle solving is there in a game like this? Like, is it 90% combat, but maybe some kind of area level puzzles as well? Or
yeah, that's not a bad percentage. I think it's very light. It's there. So there's, for example, there is a character called the Key Golem, who's a key, but he also has legs, and he has a voice. And in order to get through this door, you have to find him, you have to attack him, and he jumps on your back, and you have to carry him to the door.
Uh-huh.
But he could jump off your back, too.
Oh, no.
And if he does, maybe a skeleton's going to pick him up and wander off with him. And so you have to kind of pay attention to where this character's going as you're trying to get through to your goal.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. So there's some various puzzles in there like that.
Sure.
But it is kind of the 90-10 split that you mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an action RPG.
Yeah. We didn't want it all to be hack and slash.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Now, I know this is an audio platform, but it's hard to talk about a Minecraft-related project without at least discussing the kind of visual elements, because
yeah.
Minecraft has become, like, my mother would know what Minecraft looks like, and she's never touched a video game in her life, right? So, yeah, do you want to talk us through the kind of visual aesthetics of Minecraft Dungeons?
A little bit. I mean, it is very moody and dark, but there are above ground, like, we're in a desert at one level, and it's open up, we have light blooms, we have everything. We went with Unreal, because that was a good, I guess, platform to be able to develop a product like this. Like, you want real-looking torches in the level to be able to kind of create that mood and bring you through the dungeon. We also have, I think, to continue to answer a question you asked earlier, is we do have, like, you don't just enter a dungeon and exit a dungeon. We have sub-dungeons in there. We have other areas that you can find secrets, which will then unlock additional levels.
Who doesn't like a secret?
And so, yeah. And so there's some literal depth within the dungeons. And so you can find a door. So picture kind of Diablo when you're running around. Oh, I forget what a level was called. But there's the fields, and you'll run into a cellar door in the middle of the field that then takes you into a cellar, into a little sub-dungeon. We have stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit different and actually a little bit bigger. And there are goals within them. Like, there's one level, for example, which you can find in the prototype on the floor here at the show, is where you have to light these three beacons that then opens a treasure chest. That then has the potential to give you our equivalent of legendary items. So with our loot table, we do have different tiers of items as well.
Yeah. So obviously I'm keen to get my hands on the game, and I will do so eventually. Are you anticipating, as you mentioned, these kind of sub-levels and like a random cellar door in a field kind of thing? And I know that's part of Diablo and maybe not Minecraft Dungeons, but there's a relation there. So are you assuming that players aren't going to kind of see everything on their first playthrough?
Oh, absolutely not. But it's also procedurally generated.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so...
So it'll be different every time anyway.
Yeah. So, but there are going to be, like, why I mentioned the Archillager popping in and locking a door. Stuff like that is... Those are staples within. And so you will always have that there. But how do you get to it and from it is going to change.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. So are you anticipating people to be playing this over and over and over again? Or is there a bit of an end game there where people can kind of get stuck into?
No, they'll play it over and over and continue to play. We have three different difficulty levels, at least at the start when we launch the game. And there are... So once you finish the quote-unquote normal mode, there are additional elements and levels that open up when you get into our adventure mode. And the same goes for our apocalypse mode. And so it kind of goes forward, and there's kind of different elements that open up a little bit. So you could call that an in-game, but it's all about playing with your friends. Yep. Or if you want to play solo... You go in, we don't have a level cap. And so you can keep leveling, and the loot gets better based on your level and stronger. And so you'll always be getting new loot as well. You'll think, oh my God, I'm level 8, and I found this amazing sword. It could even have a name. It could be yellow. And so it could have that unique rareness to it. But you may find a better sword that's even a common gray sword in two more levels that just outshines that one.
Yeah.
And so... There's a continuous play cycle to it that you'll just keep coming back and playing over and over again.
Yeah, because I guess you never want to get bored, right? And if you get the best thing early on, there's not much incentive to keep going and keep playing and keep seeing what's out there. So it's good to hear that there's no level cap and it kind of just keeps going and going.
Yeah, but kind of to the point of that is you could get a level, an 8 unique, which is kind of the Diablo equivalent of a legendary, where it has a name. You pick up, the Moon Daggers in our game. That's, that's a unique item. And you could pick that up at level 8. You could also get it dropping at level 10 or 12 or something like that. So you could replace one item with the exact same item, but it's stronger.
All right.
And it could have different enchantments because those are completely randomized.
And with the cooperative play, are you anticipating players to kind of find their own class? Now, I know there aren't classes in the games, right? Yeah. But as you mentioned, you can pick up a sword. Yeah, exactly. Are you anticipating people to kind of wield those different kind of weapons, have those different kind of classes, and kind of work in different ways to help each other?
Oh, absolutely. And so, I mean, that's the plan. But there's no problem with having four people wearing the same armor sets and everything else because they always will have different enchantments.
Yeah.
So maybe one piece of armor happens to have like a might enchantment, which makes everyone in a radius stronger and do more damage. Yet one has, a fire imbuement on his armor that then when he uses our dodge roll, he'll leave a trail of fire. And so there's things that work together, elements that work together with the enchantments. And so Everyone can go in, point being, wearing the same gear visually, but they're enchanted differently.
But entirely different.
And so they still support one another or augment one another. But then ideally, yes, we want somebody to kind of to play the support role and protective role. We want somebody up front. We want somebody to go in with three artifacts that then summon a wolf and an iron golem and your llama. We have a llama that is our ranged attack.
That's amazing.
It spits on enemies. And so we want somebody to go in with that, and it really helps and builds that kind of team.
Sorry, I can't move past the llama. Is this a weapon, a summon, like a pet?
It's a summon. So you find a kind of like a – it's called the Wonderful Wheat. It's like a trinket or an artifact in our game where you put that in your hot spots on the bottom, and you trigger it, say, with X if you assign it to X, and it summons your llama. And your llama will go through and actually, he'll get distracted sometimes and just start chewing stuff on the ground. But if he's paying attention, he will spit at the enemies, which is kind of our ranged attack. It's our archer.
Fantastic.
It's so good.
Oh, that makes me so excited.
Yeah, you can summon a wolf with your tasty bone artifact, which he's your melee. He will go in and attack hard and low. But maybe, you know, you have to summon him a little more often because he's in the firefight.
Sure. Now, I'm making some assumptions here. If you play single player, I'm assuming there's no, like, NPC allies kind of taking over the co-op role. It's just you?
No, it's just you, other than the
and
animal
your llama.
Pets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it can't go anywhere without my trusty wolf and llama sidekick.
Yeah, of course.
So how did this whole project kind of come about? Like, Minecraft Dungeons, obviously Minecraft is one of the most successful game franchises ever. Franchises, even though it's one game, right? Yeah. But it's still an entire intellectual property, merchandise, music, whatever, right? How did Minecraft Dungeons come about? Who pitched this idea and said, this is the next region Minecraft is moving into?
It was an experiment, from what I understand. It was just a small hackathon kind of project that started out with a few people, and they grew a little bit, but not dramatically, over a couple of years, and then it started to get some attention because of how fun it was to play.
Right. And when you say hackathon, is this like a game jam kind of situation?
Yeah, I think internal, kind of Mojang.
Yeah. Right. So a little project a few people worked on, and they were like, hang on a second.
For a period of time, and then somebody played it. And it was PC only up until, say, September of last year. So about a year ago, and then it was just decided it needed to be on all platforms.
Yeah, well, I mean, you led me to my very next question then. Okay. Like, when should players anticipate that they can begin playing these games, this game, and what platforms will it be available on?
Yeah, it'll be available in spring of 2020, or in Australian, I guess.
Yes.
Autumn. Of 2020.
Well, you almost said fall. So well done.
You fall. Yeah. Do not use fall. Okay, so
no, we
autumn.
Don't. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. On PC, Xbox, PlayStation 4, and Switch.
Nice, perfect. So full round out of the consoles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a secret cow level?
Ooh. I can't answer that.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Never. Yeah. We still have time left in development.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It could be anything.
Could be.
Maybe this interview will influence some
decisions. We do have piggy banks, which if you're familiar with Diablo, you'll know the treasure golem or the goblin.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and he runs around, he's faster than you, and you have to decide, okay, am I going to fight Enderman, who is coming after me, to hopefully survive and potentially lose the piggy bank, or am I going to chase the bank and possibly die from the Enderman?
That's one of those decisions that will haunt you forever.
Yeah.
Nathan, senior producer on Minecraft Dungeons, thank you so much for joining me and telling me about the game. Is there any final thoughts you wanted to leave us with? Anything that this interview may not have covered that you were so itchy and ready to talk about?
No, honestly, I think you covered a good amount of it.
Well, I'm very excited to play Minecraft Dungeons later today, and then obviously later when it releases as well. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
I've been Elliot for Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a Joycast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.